Welcome to Talos Takes, the security podcast for everyone from the C-suite to the front lines.
Welcome to another year in review episode of Talos Takes. Today I am joined by Aliza from the Threat Intelligence and Interdiction team. Thanks for coming on again and talking to me.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
So continuing our series for the year in review, today we're going to be talking about data theft extortion, which was like a big focus of the year in review report. And obviously, as always, I'll be linking to everything in the show notes that we referenced today. And this was a huge focus for the report because of this type of attack's growing popularity. So I'd like to kind of just start by getting explain like I'm five version of this trend. You know, where did this type of attack start at the beginning of the year? And kind of how does that compare to where we are now in December?
Sure. So data theft extortion has been around for a while, but we noticed it growing in popularity over the past several years. This is also reflected in Cisco Talos incident response engagements. Data theft extortion was the top observed threat in the second quarter of 2023, accounting for 30% of all threats that we observed. This is something that hasn't necessarily overtaken ransomware, you know, but it's certainly something that's increasing and that we're keeping a close eye on.
So one of the reasons why we've been talking about this so much is because we know that ransomware actors are increasingly resorting to this tactic of data theft extortion versus what we think of as like quote unquote traditional ransomware that we've been writing about for years and years. What are some of the guesses we have as to why actors are pivoting to this? Do we feel like it's just opening up more revenue opportunities? Is it particularly more successful?
Right. So the payouts are pretty similar. But there are other benefits to switching to data theft extortion as opposed to ransomware. Mostly it's that ransomware attacks have gotten more complicated. One issue is us, security firms. You know, we're doing our jobs and we're improving our knowledge of ransomware threat actors and hardening our endpoint detection and response capabilities to detect when ransomware is deployed. So by not deploying any ransomware, adversaries are able to evade the detections that a lot of these big security firms have put into place and increase their anonymity. Also, they might be considering logistical and resource costs associated with encryption versus data theft extortion. Encryption meaning the encryption that takes place when you deploy ransomware. Deploying ransomware takes significantly more time than just data theft. For encryption to work against hundreds or thousands of gigabytes can take up to several hours or even days, which obviously widens the time frame in which a threat actor might be detected and eradicated. Finally, we're looking at efforts by the United States government and international partners against ransomware actors, such as sanctions. These have significantly grown in number and scope in recent years and possibly may have influenced cybercriminals to conduct activities they perceive as garnering less public attention, such as data theft extortion.
So usually our advice for ransomware victims is to not pay the ransom, obviously with the caveat being that every situation is different and, you know, it's impossible to make that decision for someone. But in this particular case, there is no ransom to pay, or I should say, like, there's the only promise in return is that your information won't be leaked. There's no decryption key to give back that would confirm, like, okay, we paid the ransom and now here's the key back so we can get all of our files back and back to working on time. So do you feel like this changes the advice that we would give around paying the ransom or not at all?
Not necessarily. So you do actually kind of see, you could also have that same issue in ransomware attacks where there's no guarantee your data isn't leaked. I mean, remember in double extortion ransomware attacks, the data is also exfiltrated. So the victim might get a decryption key, but then the threat actor also has that data, which they can kind of double cross the victim or be dishonest and then go and sell it behind their back, similar to what they could do in data theft extortion. I would argue that they are not incentivized to do that because then in future attacks, if that gets out, that they're not honoring their part of the bargain and they're leaking information, even though they were paid the ransom, then there's no incentive in the future for victims to pay the ransom. You know, security firms have also gotten really great at looking at dark web resources and, you know, understanding these big popular forums that are used by threat actors to sell information. So, you know, it's not like it's not so easy to post something on the dark web and assume it's not going to get caught if you have somebody who's a professional looking through this information and responding to the ransomware attack.
And what can you tell me about the specific actors who are leveraging this technique? Are these actors, I think basically from reading the report, it seems like it's a mix of brand new actors who are just starting this and traditional ransomware actors who are pivoting away from using, again, like the quote unquote traditional ransomware.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's really interesting because you have these longstanding groups that are known for their ransomware attack, increasingly turning to data theft extortion in lieu of ransomware. Even in some cases, like one interesting example is, I'll use Beyond Leon as an example. They used to conduct double extortion ransomware attacks, but then in early 2023, a decryption tool for the group's ransomware was released that would allow victims to unlock and recover their files without having to pay the ransom. Soon after, they stopped encrypting their files and began exclusively conducting data theft extortion attacks. So I thought that was a really interesting observation. Another threat actor we go into in the report is Karakurt. They're known to compromise organizations through spear phishing by purchasing stolen login credentials. They've harassed employees, business partners, and their victim clients with numerous emails and phone calls, warning the recipients to encourage victims to negotiate to prevent the release of data. So they're taking a more aggressive approach than some other extortion actors in order to get that ultimate payout. The group promised to delete stolen data after the payment is made, but some victims have reported that the threat actors didn't keep their promise. And I think this goes back to your previous question where you asked, could the threat actor post data anyways without the victim knowing? And as you can see here, yeah, sure they can, but security firms talk to each other, you know, and once people start noting, it's not like these victims are siloed. Once they start talking and realizing, hey, here's a group that we know doesn't honor their promise, you know, now the group is in danger of future victims not paying.
Looking forward now into 2024 here, where do you kind of see this threat heading? We're to look into our crystal ball, you know, do we expect any additional changes in TTPs or just the same tactics that we've discussed?
Sure. So given the operational successes of data theft extortion attacks, we expect cyber criminals will likely continue using this tactic in the near term. So while it currently remains to be seen whether data theft extortion will rise or fall in popularity, in the long term, its growing presence in Talos IR engagements suggests that threat actors continue to view this tactic as a viable way to receive a payout. We estimate, however, that a threat actor's behavior may change if they assess that at some point in time, for some reason, data theft extortion on its own is no longer sufficient to coerce victims strongly enough to elicit payouts. But this is something that, you know, we have yet to be seen. Furthermore, adversaries have stated that the expansion and advancements of certain EDR solutions have prevented the deployment of ransomware successfully. So if this trajectory holds, we might see an increased prevalence of data theft extortion attacks as threat actors seek alternative measures. So this is definitely a dynamic situation and one that we are watching very closely. Unfortunately, there is no cut and dry answer.
All right, awesome. Well, thank you so much, Lisa, for coming on as always and for your team's work on this report. I mentioned this to Dave in the last episode, but I know you guys poured a ton of time into it. So happy to see it out there now, and I hope you have a good weekend.
Thanks so much. You as well, John.